So I've mentioned Father Walter Chiswick before in homilies. In fact, I think only a couple weeks ago. Remember, Father Chiswick was an American priest who conducted secret missionary work in the Soviet Union during the mid-1900s. Now, 23 of these years, though, were spent in confinement and hard labor in the Gulag, in Moscow's most famous prison camp, because he was finally caught administrating the sacraments. He was charged as a Vatican spy simply because he was being a priest. Now, reflecting on his experiences in the labor camp much later after his release, Father Chiswick wrote about how he'd offer the Mass secretly each day in the camp. He wrote, "It mattered not whether I celebrated Mass in an overcrowded barrack, hidden somewhere in a dark corner without light, or on the upper deck of my bunk, half inclined or sitting, or sometimes in a pit or old shack, or in the basement of an unfinished building. Now often his masses would be interrupted by someone passing, or even by an informer. While in the camps," he said, "we always took the risk of being caught and punished when saying Mass. Many prisoners and many free citizens could not understand our deep concern for the Holy Eucharist and the celebration of the Mass." He wrote, "The deep realization of the mystery that took place on the board, the box, the barrel, chosen to serve as an altar, meant all. The realization that the Almighty God was present in the consecrated bread and wine and could be received even in the impossible conditions of the camps gave new vigor and life to the body and soul." Father Chiswick would go on to say that he considered saying Mass daily in the Soviet Union to be the most important act of his life, so worthwhile and necessary. The power and mystery of the Blessed Sacrament affected and influenced him in such a way that his whole attention and spiritual perception was totally directed to the mystery itself. Come back to him. Now, in our gospel this morning, our Lord is met with opposition to his teaching on the Holy Eucharist. Now, remember, we've been hearing about his teaching week after week now. This passage is the finale to his Bread of Life discourse. So if you remember, in last week's gospel, our Lord said emphatically that a person must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood in order to have eternal life. Now, at first, the people wondered if our Lord was simply speaking metaphorically, symbolically, when he said this. Yet, remember last week, our Lord does not back down in response. Instead, he doubles down. "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no life within you." He was teaching them about his real presence in the Holy Eucharist, the bread of life. It would not be a symbol of his body. No, it would truly be himself under the appearance of food that they would have to consume for eternal life. And that's where our gospel picks up today. Now, the people could not handle this teaching. "This is a hard saying," they say. It says, "Many of them who have been following him for some time left his company forever because they realized he was speaking literally." After the miracle of the loaves, the people had wanted to make him a king. So he let them know just who he was, saying that their job was to believe in him because he came down from heaven. Yet they couldn't handle this. Now, in a very moving manner, our Lord turns to his closest friends, his 12 apostles, and he says, "Do you also want to leave?" For our Lord's heart was clearly saddened by how many people left him. The greatest gift that our Lord would give us was the Eucharist. Yet people were not willing to believe. Would the apostles leave him too? Interestingly, this is the first time it's mentioned that Judas would be the betrayer, because it was in the Eucharist that Judas began to doubt in Jesus. Now, it seems as if the 12 apostles are a little iffy on their commitment, right? St. Peter's first reaction isn't to say, no, we don't want to leave, don't worry, but to say words that could be interpreted as, "We wish we could leave, but we're stuck. He says, Master, to whom shall we go? The 12 had left their former lives for Christ, a radical commitment that in the best of circumstances kind of was hard to justify. Now, with his rhetoric getting increasingly bizarre, they worried they couldn't go back. Yet at this point in the Gospels, other than Judas, right, the rest of the apostles had come to put their trust and faith in Christ. I mean, think about it. They had left their wives, their families, their careers to follow after him. They might not have fully understood what he meant about the Eucharist at this time, but they knew that he was the Messiah whom they should trust. Their lives depended on it now. Therefore, though they might have been iffy, they knew they could not go anywhere. To whom else could they go if they could not go to Christ? Now, St. John Chrysostom actually has high praise for St. Peter's words here. Master, to whom else shall we go? He calls them a speech of the greatest love, proving that Christ was more precious to them than father or mother. It is, in fact, the kind of love a spouse has for a spouse. Right? You say to each other, whatever happens in your life is something that is happening in our life together. And I will take your side no matter what. Perhaps this is why the church pairs this Sunday's gospel with this Sunday's second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. St. Paul gives a long meditation comparing the married relationship and the church's relationship with Christ, saying that the two relationships are the same kind of thing. St. Paul echoes Christ in quoting Genesis on marriage, saying, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Then St. Paul adds, this is a great mystery, but I speak in reference to Christ and the church. The church, the body of Christ, us, is the bride, and Christ is the bridegroom. Now, when we unite with Christ in Holy Communion, we are the bride receiving the body of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. Just as a man leaves his parents and cleaves to his wife, Christ the bridegroom leaves his father's house in the incarnation and cleaves with us in the Holy Eucharist, becoming one flesh. And like brides, we leave our former family to make Christ our highest priority and our new identity. Now this all being said, we still see many people leaving our Lord's company in today's age. Many people choose to go to all sorts of other events or just would rather sleep in than come to Sunday Mass to receive their bridegroom. Or people receive Holy Communion regularly without having gone to confession in years. Further, I've heard it, some people blame the priestly scandals in the church as their reason for not making an effort to come to Mass. Right? Some people don't agree with some of the church's moral teachings, so they stop coming. Right? They want God and the church on their own terms. But you know what? No matter what excuse we can come up in our minds, they all pale to the reality of the Holy Eucharist that we receive in the Mass. Jesus Christ himself, under the appearance of bread and wine. Now, Father Walter Chizik knew the reality of who we receive in every Mass. He was willing to risk his life for it in the Russian Gulag. He would be horrified to know of all the excuses people make today not to come to Mass. And that's the way it should be for us as well. You know, we could easily get caught up in the externals of Mass. If the homily is long or boring, if the music isn't our style, the times are not good for our schedule. The externals should help us to realize the internal. But sometimes we can forget that. The reality of the gift of the Eucharist should be what permeates into our depths, as it did for Father Chizik. You know, this morning, many Christians throughout the world risked their lives to attend Mass. Yet here in the United States and elsewhere in the world, we take Sunday Mass for granted. When push comes to shove, we can easily get tempted to skip Mass for a variety of reasons. And as a college student, I know it can be difficult to be known by your friends as someone who goes to Mass each weekend, but that doesn't mean you still shouldn't go to Mass. Yet even if we wouldn't skip Mass, we might just be going through the motions of Mass each week as well. Or we might only be here because we know we have to be. Yet we as Catholics need to try to fall more in love with our Eucharistic Lord each time we come to Mass. He is the bridegroom. And the way we do this is to ask our Lord for help to do so, for an increase of faith, to be open to Him in our hearts. If we do, nothing else in our week will be as important as Sunday Mass. For from the Eucharist comes strength to live the Christian life in zeal, to share that life with others. It must be the center of our lives. Our lives do not make sense without Christ. And Christ loves us so much. He sees our dignity. He sees our beauty. Yet we so often don't respond to Him in love in return. You know, one of the Eucharistic hymns we sing here at Mass often is, Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all. That phrase should flow from our hearts to our lips. Christ gives Himself to us under the mere appearance of food. Yet so often, we can choose to walk away from Him like those disciples of old, by taking Him for granted and just going through the motions of Mass and not really being present here with our hearts. Right? It's just a box we have to check off each week. As many people around us no longer practice the faith in their lives, we must be ready to answer our Lord's question, do you also want to leave? And we, like St. Peter, must echo sincerely, Master, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen.